and concerns the occupation of the Israeli regime. But the question is, if really the Western and Zionist claim has been right, that they wanted to actually give shelter to a number of refugees and they wanted to create a country for them, then why, with all their power and all the potential that they had, how is it that they are supporting all the measures adopted by the Israeli regime, so much so that sometimes even they do not lend that much support to the countries of their own allies. They don't lend that much support to their own people. If they really they are sympathizing and they are supporting the human rights and the right to, they have formed a group in Palestine, they have brought to power a group of people in Palestine, then how is it that all of the claims of human rights, their claims to be supporters of human rights, democracy, children's rights, women's rights, adults' rights, all of them, how is it that all of they are actually sacrificing their claims only for Zionist regime? What specifications does the Israeli regime have? What right does it have to be interfering in the affairs of all countries? And in this, actually, it is 100,000 square kilometer area. Part of that is in the hands of the Zionist regime. What exists there that hegemonic powers, Western hegemonic powers, have said that actually they have set a condition? They said if the rest of the world want to be friends with the West, first they must be friends with the Israeli regime. This is the criterion. The criterion for friendship with other nations is friendship and cooperation with the Israeli regime and the recognition of the Israeli regime. How is it that the question of Zionism and the question of Palestine, why is it that it is the core issue facing the world today? There are some people who do not are not aware of the importance of the issue. They think something has happened at a point in time in history, and a number of people have made a decision, and they have occupied a land, and a number of people have come to power. And it could be settled through negotiations and have a chit-chat and all that, and it could be settled nice and easy. If that's the case, actually, if that were the case, then we wouldn't be witnessing a number of wars and chaos and tension of over the past 70 years. So many clashes, fight, actually, all those, that tension would have been pointless. It shows that this issue is much more important. And all those people who think that something has happened, either they should ignore it or somehow sit down, they said, okay, we can settle it somehow, sit down to talks and divide the land somehow, give part of it to one group, part of it to another group. This is a naive way of thinking. It is not so simple, actually. It is not so simple. If that were the case, they would have done that before. Efforts have also been made before, but to no avail. If you look at the world with this viewpoint, definitely irreparable damage will be in the offing and we will be suffering irreparable damage. The existence of the Israeli regime and the role of the Israeli regime should be looked at within a global and historical context. The one reality exists in the world which should not be overlooked. Well, it's a historical, actually, it's a historical fight, hegemonic powers, the evil powers, arrogant powers, hegemonic powers, all those who are actually seeking expansionism and launching aggression And also, on the other hand, we have the front of good and nations. We cannot overlook this historical clash and fight. Actually, the front of evil powers, hegemonic powers, over the past 400 years, you know, they promoted slavery in the world. Dozens of millions of people were sacrificed. Dozens of millions of families were collapsed, and they killed the affections of people. You see, in Africa, there are islands in Africa. They are called Barandas Islands. The colonial powers used to go there. They would assemble people by force. Actually, the younger and stronger people, they would separate them from their families, and they would treat them like animals and tray and the goods. Then they would actually load them onto the ships, all these people. How you see how they are loading construction materials in a very bad manner. So they would load people all together, they would hand them, tie them up, and they would put them in special canals, and they would load them onto the ships in groups, they would use them for slavery, and they would weaken. That's the way that hegemonic powers built the pillars of their powers. And colonialism, as soon as they managed to develop their weapons and all that, they started to move to occupy the whole world. A very small nation after so many hundred years, for example, we have a country, only 5 million population it has. They went to actually occupy a country of 200 million people in Eastern Asia and looted all the riches of that country. They plundered all the wealth of that country and destroyed their culture, killed the generations, and uprooted them. Colonialism and slavery was in power for a long period of time. How could they dominate the whole world? Well, the time when they dominate the Middle East, the key to the domination of the world is the Middle East. The region of culture, it is the best crossroads of communications in the world. The most energy resources are here. In this region, they have always been seeking to dominate the Middle East region. It is not a new issue. For more than 1,000 years, they have been seeking to dominate the Middle East region. The Middle East is the secret to the gateway to the world. Well, the colonial movements got a start there, and of course after that some movements came in power to fight slavery, and in appearance the nations gained independence. But the spirit of colonialism and slavery continued to exist, and of course it was weakened, but it was not destroyed completely. They want to dominate the whole world. They want to put in place, to continue their older policies, but with new covers, with new slogans. Well, they wanted to dominate the Middle East. They wanted to put a base in this region, and that's where they engineered that. They always wished to establish the Israeli regime. So it is not so simple. They cannot say something happened during the World War II and a number of people came together and formed a regime. It is something that they have been after for hundreds of years. For several times, they have invaded Palestine and they launched aggressions against Palestine. And afterwards, some groups came and liberated Palestine. The Israeli regime is the result of a historical intention, actually. For them, it is a matter of life and death. It is the question of the existence of colonialism. It is not that, well, some professional killers in the world who, in the Second World War, actually, they killed more than 60 million people, now they're sympathizing with some people and want to help them. No. It is pretty obvious that it is a big lie. Actually, the war and conflicts, it is all an excuse. They're trying to capitalize on the situation. I believe that it is a pre-plan. They are planning to regain their domination over the world, but without saying that this is colonialism or slavery. But with the new France, they're going to kill a bird with several birds with one stone. First, they created unity among themselves, first of all in Europe itself, and then in the countries under colonial powers. You see, we witnessed a lot of wars in Latin America, Africa, and they massacred a lot of native peoples in order to gain domination over nations. But pity, there was no possibility to record those crimes. Otherwise, we would have a long document, long book of the crimes committed by them. They established the Israeli regime in order to create unity among themselves. Unity under the shadow of unity only can happen under divine teachings and under religious blessings, under the faith in divine values. But they trampled all these values underfoot. Of course, somebody who does not, if somebody believes in divine faith, does not go for wars and colonialism and expansionism and slavery. They trampled all those values underfoot. They didn't pay attention to God Almighty, divine values, even human values, loyalty, actually keeping promise, dignity, freedom. They trampled all those things underfoot, and they actually tried to, they tried to cast the Israeli regime as the one important core issue among themselves. As you're saying, you can insult anybody, you can protest to anything, and you can deny any reality, but as soon as you come close to the Zionist circle, all Western countries, with all their power, they rise up against you. This is the pivot of their unity, and of course it secures their interests. They have set up a pillar in the middle, and they are threatening everybody in the world with this, and they want to dominate the whole world, and they're looting the wealth of all nations and all that. And then later they came and dominated our region. They ignored God, and they set up an existence and actually entity called the Israeli regime, because it serves the interests, the colonial interests of the hegemonic powers. They are not prejudiced about anything but the Israeli regime. They are extremely prejudiced about the Israeli regime. I have already told you, I had sent a message to one of the European leaders who is no longer in office. He was one of the previous officials, one of the key officials in the past. When actually, I gave him the message, he asked for a private meeting with me. He asked, why are you expressing your opposition to the Israeli regime so much? Actually, we are embarrassed at that. Even we are embarrassed. I asked them, why are you embarrassed? You are a large country. You have a large history and civilization. Why should you be embarrassed at our opposition? You see, I saw that they they had a very great amount of prejudice, and they don't allow any country to try to act against the Israeli regime. How is it that? Because the Israeli regime today is the only foothold for them to secure their interests and to bring them together. It is the only chance for them to dominate the region and the whole world. They are standing behind the Israeli regime wholeheartedly, and through this regime they are looting the whole world, and they are ready to massacre all nations. You see what they did in South Lebanon, in Gaza, and what are they doing even now? They are ready to expand their military forces all across the world in order to defend the Israeli regime. Why? Because defending Israel means defending their own interests. They are even ready to sacrifice their own nations because of their own interests. It is not the question of a few kilometers of land, square land. It is the question of dominating the world, looting the world. It is the question of the destiny of the human community. You see, look at the Europe and America, almost all political leaders there, all of them are Zionists. Don't think that when we say Zionists, it means Jews, Jewish, extremist Jews. No, never. We don't mean that. Zionists are do not believe in any religion or faith, only the wicked interests of hegemonic powers. Erroneously, they make some claims, and this is something, and they are actually insulting the followers of religious divine, religious faiths. The key power, economic powers, economic hubs of the world, key media outlets are in their own hands. The president of that government, that big government which claims to be managing the whole world affairs, that president should kneel in front of Zionists, then he will be allowed to enter the election race. They are ruling the world. Once I was thinking that they are just a 2,000 strong party, and the second in command, there are 6,000 or 7,000 Zionists, together around 7,000 or 8,000 people. They are managing the affairs of the world. The Zionist regime actually is not legitimate, and it is the pivot of the capitalist system. It is the true face of slavery. The actually true well, you see, the Zionist regime is a manifestation of the West system, and the West should actually adore and support the Israeli regime. You see how prejudiced they are. We raised two simple questions. You see, they kicked up a fuss around the world over those two questions. You saw the reaction. We asked actually, if the Second World War event, they were true historical events. Why politicians are prejudiced about that? Usually, politicians are not sensitive about historical events. It is scientists and researchers and scholars who are sensitive about historical events. How is it that politicians are sensitive about historical events? Why don't they let a free probe be launched into these events? This is a very simple question. They claim to be supporters of freedom of expression. When they come to other countries, they see, well, all expression, all freedoms, all ideas should be promoted, and even they talk about the independence of nations. But when it comes to they themselves, we ask them, why are you so prejudiced? Let an independent group to come and launch a probe into that. They kicked up a fuss over that issue all around the world. You see, they have a lot of prejudice. They have a lot of prejudice. It is clear that it means that they have some interest, some vested interest in that matter, in that historical event. Well, of course, that historical event serves their interest today. That's why they're so sensitive about that. We can talk about everything, about God, about everything, but not the Zionist regime. There their behavior toward us was such that as if we were denying the existence of God, they launched attacks on us. And our second question was that suppose an event has taken place, 60 million plus people have been killed. Where did it happen? Who was behind it? What is its connection with the issue of Palestine? Why should the Palestinian people and other regional nations pay the price for that? Again, they kicked up a fuss for that, over that, and showed reaction over that. You know, the question is that these questions unmask the decades-long lies told by them, and it unmasked their falsifications, unmasked the true philosophy behind the existence of the Israeli regime, and unmasked hegemonic powers' plots. And it made it clear that all of the falsifications that they had, all of them was a false scenario in order to establish a foothold within in the heart of the Islamic region and in our region. Of course, they made every effort to change the subject, but God has unmasked them. Even the Holy Quran actually, God says that distort words. That is what God has mentioned. We just raised two questions. They said, oh, he wants to kill people, he wants to wage wars. Instead of answering our questions, they kicked up a fuss, showed very strong reactions, insulted us and all that, and tried to change the subject. And they showed a very strong reaction. They accused us of being bellicose and all that. They tried to hide the true issue. They didn't want the nations to hear the two main questions. They actually didn't answer the questions, and so far they haven't answered those questions. These two questions are still on the table. They cannot ignore these two questions. It became clear that these questions are targeting what they had in mind, and the backbone of colonialism is the target of these two questions. Of course, there were some people, they said these questions will serve the interests of Zionists and made the West support the Israeli regime. This is, again, one of those naive remarks. And you see, they are looking for any pretext. Are they looking to ask us for their support for the Zionist regime? And they are all the same. The West, I'm not talking about the nations, of course, the statesmen, the leaders, European and American nations, today they are actually entrapped by their leaders. And even inside there are some people inside our country, they think that there is a fight, a clashes between number of Palestinians and Israelis, and it's a very small fight, and now we can sit down together and settle the matter. With a few meetings, it could be settled and we can get it over with. They want to the historical colonialist current, the historical current of capitalism, world capitalism, those who launch aggressions against people, the historical colonialism and imperialism against nations' rights. They want to settle that current nice and easy in a few meetings. No, this is not right. This is naivety. But what kind of naivety? If such a belief were wrong, and their negotiations have been underway for a couple of decades. Those people who claim to be the supporters of human rights, many concessions were made and all that. They were humiliated. Some parties, some nations, but they did not step back an inch from their claims. It is clear that those who have such beliefs, still they do not recognize the true nature of the West's capitalism, of the Israeli regime and Zionism. Zionism is the manifestation, the full manifestation of the materialistic dimension of hegemonic powers. It only means domination, humiliation of nations, looting nations. This is all it's about, massacre and all that. We are embarrassed to say that some medical centers and health centers by the world are controlled by Zionists, and who produce viruses and actually release it around the world in order to sell the drugs at high prices, antivirus drugs at high prices. What nation would do such a thing? Zionism is the manifestation, is the pillar of the West and colonialism. And some people think it can be settled with a few words and a few talks. This is naivety. This is naivety. And none of divine or human values, even the commitments made, they do not abide by any of them. The question of Palestine and international state are the question of an issue of the whole world, of all humanity. It's a question of saving all humanity from the clutches of hegemonic powers. It is the question of saving and protecting the dignity of human beings. It means opening the way, paving the way for justice for a human being to serve, to exact justice. It is not a matter of a piece of land and all that, so that it is not possible to change it by changing the border lines. The late Imam put it very nicely. It said the Quds Day is the day of Islam. It means a day when all divine and human values are manifested. It is the gateway for the human beings to an era of prosperity. Clashes and fights have a historical background, are deep-rooted. It is not possible to handle it, to settle it with a political compromise. Of course, we do not favor war. And our solution is a cultural one and is a political one, but based on justice, based on human dignity. They advanced their work, and they were almost sure, they were becoming sure that the Zionist regime is stable, but all of a sudden the late Imam came, introduced the Islamic movement, the Islamic revolution, and it actually thwarted all their plots. And they actually were back to square one. They saw that their decades-long achievements had been destroyed. And today, they have mobilized all in their power in order to save the illegitimate regime of Israel. Look at the situation in the region. What is going on? A group of people under the banner of justice seeking and looking for peace and freedom, they launched some clashes and later followed by massacre and killing of peoples. And you see, many countries are involved in this, all governments in the Middle East until all the way to the North Africa, all of them have been affected. Their social systems are on the verge of collapse. They have been affected by chaos and crisis. From day one, I told nations that when it comes to developments in the region, we should pay attention to 3 points simultaneously. Pay attention, we should not disregard some. And what is the first point? The first point to be taken into consideration, it concerns the basic rights of people. It is pretty obvious that justice, freedom, human dignity, welfare and progress, all nations have the right to that. All people have a right to that. Everybody has a right to that. All governments, all nations, all politicians, they should actually pay attention to this right. Nobody can deprive nations of these rights. Without any exception, all nations, everybody must respect these rights. The regional nations for many years were under the domination of dictators. They were looking for an opportunity to set themselves free, and they chanted the slogan of justice and freedom. Of course, the slogan of justice and freedom can motivate them. It is right. It can re-energize them. And of course, in order for them to attain their decades-long wishes, such a slogan can help them. For hundreds of years, tens of years, they have been waiting to reach freedom and human dignity. It was their will. They had a lot of demands. They were waiting for an opportunity. But of course, that opportunity was found. But the second point is the way to exercise one's basic rights. You know, we're witnessing, and there are some methods in the world. One is the method of war. They say, okay, we should launch war so that we can attain our rights. Suppose all those claim to be supporters of human rights, they are right, suppose, and there is nothing in the air, they are sincere, suppose. They say we should launch a war and fight for our rights. Well, now we can see what is happening. What can war lead us to? It will lead to the destruction of countries and killing of people. What is the end point? A government which comes to power through wars, it is giving permission to its opposition to continue the war. It is institutionalizing unrest. What does it mean? It doesn't mean how a government shouldn't come to power through wars. Some people, some groups, they are using our revolution as an example. And in private meetings, they told me, you launched a revolution and you came to war, you yourselves. I said, no, don't make a mistake. In the great Islamic revolution of Iran, we did not have any armed uprising. There was no war. The late Imam discouraged people from taking up arms. It was just the human resistance. It was a war of faith against bullets. The late Imam actually did not let people to take up arms, even didn't let people to destroy public property. How are you comparing these events with our revolution, and you're taking our revolution as a pretext? Then you want to take up arms and launch wars. No, this does not. This is not true. I'm announcing in a straightforward manner, the method of the late Imam of Iran was not an armed opposition. It was a human method. But the second method and the main path is understanding and rapport, national understanding and rapport. Those who are in a war in these countries, neither side is right. They should sit together. They are absolute right, of course. They should sit together, come to a consensus through national understanding and rapport. Why do they think that war can bring friendship? How is it possible to think that massacre and killing people can bring friendship and rapport? How do you justify your actions? How is it possible? No logic, no religious teaching says that. They should reach an understanding and rapport. Our enemies are seeking to promote the method of war. They sell weapons, they support, they encourage others. But the only way is through understanding and rapport, through brotherhood. And the third point, which everybody should pay attention to, paying attention for the enemies of the humanity, the historical enmity which has put nations against nations, remaining on the watch for colonialism and the Zionist regime. Everybody in their decision makings, in their statements, in their political deeds, they should remain on the watch for that. They should see what impact can their measures have on the existence of the enemies. I raise a question. Today, the situation in Egypt, the situation in Syria, in other countries, who benefits from the events and who is sad because of that? Really, today, isn't it the day that the Zionist regime is celebrating because of witnessing such events? Aren't they breathing a sigh of relief? Aren't the supporters of Zionists celebrating today? It is something that they have had in mind for years. They always wanted to see a day when the will of the nations, which has always wanted to see the annihilation of the Israeli regime, that will has turned into clashes, internal conflicts, massive killings, and all that. With the through their own money, the money of the nations, they have set fire to the nation through the funds of the nations themselves, and they're fomenting this unrest. If the current situation in the region, if it continues for 50 years, who will benefit from that? Are they sad? Are they upset at this? Are they, even if it continues, God forbid, for 50 years? No, the Zionists are celebrating, are very happy. Arrogant powers, hegemonic powers are happy over this. Even if all Egypt, Iraq, Syria, Tunisia, Armenia, Turkey, and all regional countries, even if all of them are destroyed, will they be sad over that? No, they won't give a damn. They will just actually fulfill their wishes. They had two problems, economic problem and the legitimacy of the Israeli regime. They want to kill several birds with one stone. They have mobilized all they have, whatever in their power. They are seeking a new Middle East. So this is something that they have announced. All of us should remain on the watch. I believe, you know, I'm frank with everybody in the world. I talk frankly. Those who are encouraging war and conflicts today, those extremist groups who have appeared right out of the blue and they decapitate people, they are Muslims in appearance, but inside they are Zionists. The foundation of the Israeli regime was the foundation that has been laid, and the foundation of the Israeli regime and those groups who are the extremist groups, all those foundations were laid at the same time. It is clear these are definitive historical documents. They came and set up a group, and they launched a current in the Islamic world and another current that is the Zionist current. Those who only behead Muslim people, they kill Muslim people, and they have used religious differences as a pretext and kill people. They claim that if they kill people, kill Muslims, they will go directly to the heavens, and they brainwash them, and that's why we are witnessing these homicide killings and all that. Those people who destroy villages and towns, those who decapitate people, all those behind them, their ringleaders, they are Zionists and affiliated with Zionists. Actually, you should not be deceived by the by just an Islamic appearance. It has been for over 60 years they have been supporting the Zionist regime of Israel. All moves by nations, they have tried to neutralize all nations' moves against the Israeli regime. They have not adopted any measure against the Israeli regime. They have just killed Muslims. It is obvious that it has the same root. It would be naive to think we should not take the Israeli regime a simple issue. It means, well, there are problems and hardships also. I would like to mention a few other points. The first point goes to the political groups and factions operating in different countries. I would like to advise them in a friendly manner to tell them, if you want to pursue your partisan objectives, even if you are not, if you are seeking the basic rights of your nations, remain on the watch for the enemies and the Zionists. See what effect can your measures have on them. Sit down and reach an understanding. What is going on? What's the big deal about reaching power? There are some people who are ignoring everything, ignoring all values just to reach power. They are trampling underfoot the independence of their people just to reach power. It means playing into the enemy's hands. Be careful. You should see how your name will go down in history. There is another world. There is an eternal world. And my advice to the regional governments is that they should know that hegemonic powers have plans and plots for everybody. They should remain on the watch not to play into the enemy's hands. If you are independent, if you are Muslims, if you care about your people, do not play into the enemy's hands. Do not give the wealth of your nations in order to serve the interests of the enemy. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I said the enemy is hatching plots for all of you. One of them, which is a very great country, the leader of that country said, no, we are having treaties with them, agreements with them. I told him, no, you're naive to believe that. They never want our nations to be progressive and to be independent. How did you put your trust on a few pieces of paper that you have signed with them? Look at history, look at the geographical situation. And I enumerated for them that there are some historical differences in your countries. They will foment the unrest in your country. They have agents, operatives in your country, I told him. And they will, in a matter of years, they will launch plots against you. And that country is in trouble now. I have told the leaders of many of those countries, Iraq, Turkey, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, the Persian Gulf, literal estates are in danger. They have plots and programs, schemes for all. The governments should remain on the watch that they are not loyal. They only care about their own interests. They look at everybody like a handkerchief. When they use the handkerchief, they dispose of it. You can see the history. The history is in front of our eyes. Don't trust. They shouldn't trust what the hegemonic powers say. Today is a day of awakening. Come, actually, we should be awakened. Don't let history mention your name in a bad manner. And a piece of advice to the nations: I would like to tell nations that they themselves should distance themselves from power struggles. Do not get into that. They should remain united, remain on the watch. They should avoid the fratricide and all that. The leaders, the scholars of nations sit together and come together and actually consider the, take care, review the slogans of the parties and see what the enemy has for them. If anybody has actually has set up a group and introduced some slogans and they are in clashes, no, this is not right. And one word to the Zionists and their supporters. Apparently, they are happy now. I want to tell them, don't think that you have found an opportunity to save yourselves. The days of your happiness will not be long. Your happiness will not last long. The main wave of awakening is just ahead. By God's grace, very soon all nations will foil your plots. You have no place in the region, in our region, and in the region. Actually, you have actually planted wind, so you will sow storm. A storm is on the way, I'm sure, and that will annihilate the Zionist regime. Gone are the days of colonialism and slavery in any form or shape. History will not repeat itself. The world is changing, is gearing up for the establishment of a global government of justice. I advise you to drop your conspiracies and do not defame your names more than this. You should know that very soon the divine hand will help the nations and will put an end to you. And I promise you, and I'm declaring here with loud and clear, that don't be dreaming. These events, the developments that we're seeing here, actually, this show that your time, your happiness will not last long, and by God's grace, you will go to the bottom of the history's abyss and stop committing crimes. And one word to the Iranian nation, to the great Iranian nation. Dear and faithful Iranian nation, we should remain vigilant and on the watch. The potential of the Iranian nation has what it takes to be a role model for others. Today is the time to raise the flag of justice and monotheism and the government full of love and beauty. We should actually invite all nations to justice and brotherhood. Today is a day of national unity, day of brotherhood. I am sure that the faithful Iranian nation, the vigilant resilient and brave Iranian nation will be able to accomplish all the divine and historical missions in the best manner possible. May God bless the late Imam Khomeini, who with his prudence and actually designated the International Day of Quds, when all Muslims and freedom seekers come together and express their solidarity with the Palestinian nation. And God Almighty, I ask you to...
Live in Tehran, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad addressing people there, as you can see, just ahead of the noon prayers here today on International Quds Day. We've been, of course, bringing you here on Press TV live pictures of rallies taking place across the country, Iran, and also around the world. That speech just delivered by Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, and during that speech he did of course address various issues concerning the Israeli-Palestinian case, and he did make a lot of references on how the Palestinian issue should be resolved, on what Iran's idea is of a resolution, and of course he did mention a lot about Israel's allies, references there to the US and Israel's Western allies as well. Just so quickly point out to some of the key points of his speech before we move on. President Ahmadinejad said the question of Palestine is a question of saving humanity itself from the clutches of Zionism. The issue, he said, is not just about the occupation of a piece of land, and changing borders is not going to change anything. He said that, as the late founder of Iran's Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, has said, the case of Al-Quds is the case of Islam. He said Iran does not favor war and conflict, and it's looking for a political solution that's based on justice and dignity. He also said that today world powers have mobilized their forces to save the illegitimate regime of Israel. These are quotes from the president himself. He said the situation in the region right now is indicative of this. He referred to the situations in Egypt and Syria and said Israel and its allies are fomenting unrest, and they are benefiting from this situation because they are seeking a new Middle East. Comments there by the Iranian president, Mr. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.